Okay, good morning. So we are holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Today's Daf Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. Yesterday we started the new Perek, Perek Chavis. The Mishnah is discussing over here, in Perek Chavis, the Mishnah is discussing different, it starts off says what you're allowed to save if a barrel breaks on Shabbos, but then it gets to the conversation about when you're saving the liquid, the wine, when the barrel breaks on Shabbos, you shouldn't sponge it because that leads to an Isser of Schita, of Mefarek, of Dush. Says the Mishnah, in general, the halachas of dash, of squeezing out the fruits on Shabbos. So the Mishnah discusses that we know there's an isser to do schita. If juice oozes out by itself, there's isser abundant to benefit from the juices, because it, if one benefits from the juice, he may come to squeeze the juice out, the chatchila. And we had a machlekes or abundant Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakam, the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, Tanakam says that seemingly any juice that ooze from pears asur. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said that no, if a person intends to eat this fruit as a food, if he intends to eat it as a food, then the juices that ooze are not going to be asur. If he actually intends to use it for drinking purposes, then we have to be concerned with the juices that ooze out. That was the general din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then spoke about honeycombs, but okay, the Maran then came along and qualified the Mishnah, Marmor Machlekes of Amram, how to approach the Mishnah. First, we brought a member from Rav Yehuda named Shmuel. That Rav Yehuda agrees to chamen by zeisim and anavim, olives and grapes that are meant. The derech of those are they're meant for the liquid shabai. So over there, Rav Yehuda agrees that even if he intended to eat these items, if juice oozes out, it's going to be asam and drabanim, because since they're so apt for the oil and the wine, the grape juice that comes out of it. Therefore, if something oozes out, we're scared if you benefit from that liquid, you may come to squeeze lechatchila, and therefore it's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda's Maida, that is Shmuel's member, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Ula said name of Rav, no, that Rabbi Yehuda argues, even by Zeis and Avim, and Rabbi Yechonon brings a psak that we pask like Rabbi Yehuda by Sharpers, but we pask like the one by Zeis and Avim, which would indicate that Rabbi Yechonon sides with Rav, that they argue even by Zeis and Avim, that they argue across the board, even by Zeis and Avim, they argue that is Rav and Rabbi Yechonon's opinion, where Shmuel argues. So we left off with the memra, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. We left off with the memra, it's around the midway point of the page, and this is going to take us into our next conversation. Amar Rabba, we're going to elaborate further on which juices are usher, and we'll actually speak out the different categories that are brought Allah Lamaisa. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabba, Amar Shmuel. Maida Rabbi Yehuda l'chamen b'deis anavim, u'maida l'chamen Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peres. So Rabbi Yehuda say the name of Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda is talking maida to abanam b'deis anavim, that we actually quoted when we started earlier, we just referenced it before earlier in this Gemara. 10 lines earlier, Mark quotes that according to Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda, who says that zeisim, that normally juices, we're not makbid on, you don't say the asa al zera, by zeisim anavim, he's maida. But here we add another level. And the Rabbanan on Maita Behuda Bashar Paris, then we're not worried about the juice. So what's the obvious question? If Bashar Paris by other Paris, Rabbanan agreed to Behuda, not worried about the juices. And if Behuda agrees to Rabbanan that by Zeis and Navim, we are worried about the juices, it comes to the Zomachlaikis. Everyone agrees by Zeis and Navim, we're worried about juice that comes up by itself. And everyone agrees by Shar Paris, but now I'm worried about juice that comes up by itself. There's no Machlaikis to Behuda Rabbanan. What are the Machlaikis in the Mishnah? I'm like, you're the Rababa. El my Paliki, what's the Machlaikis in the Mishnah? This is what we left off yesterday. Amalei, Shar Abbasimak Lachitishkach. Go search. When you go search, you'll find the answer. Says Gemara Menachem Yitzchak, I'll tell you the answer. Mistav Retusim V'Remainim Pligi. The whole Machlekes is Betusim V'Remainim. It's like Betusim are like berries and Remainim are pomegranates. But these days they can touch Tusim, it's usually like strawberries. But Betusim are berries in general and pomegranates. And the idea over there is those are maybe not as dedicated for the liquids that come out as grapes and olives, which are their specialty is the juices that come out of them by grapes and olives. Shar peres were typically used as fruit, as just eaten as food itself, not for the juices. And then we have this middle madrega of two severe minimum, somewhere in between, pomegranates and berries that are often used for the juices, but not always. Tanya, we learned that Rabbi says, Zeisim, Shemashach Mem, Shemen, Vanavim, Zeisim, Shemashach Mem, Shemen, Vanavim, Shemashach Mem, Yayin. If you have olives where oil came out of them, grapes that wine came out of it, grape juice came out of it, Vichnisan, Bein Leichlim, and the Mashkin, whether they were stored originally for Eichlin or even for Mashkin purposes, certainly for Mashkin purposes, but even if it was stored for Eichlin purposes, the liquids that come out of it are usser. Why? Because since those are something which is normal for a person to squeeze for its juices, if we allow it to use the juices that ooze out by itself, you'll come to squeeze it, and therefore it's vitally problematic. That's part of the gzeira over there, certainly applies. Tusim shemashu by mayim, remayim shemashu by mayim yayin, by these berries that liquid came out, or these pomegranates that liquid came out. Then we say it depends. If they were born for any purposes, hayetz ben mutter, then that which oozes out is mutter. L'mashkin ulastam. If, however, it was stored for mashkim purposes, so it was taka stored for mashkim, ulastam, or for stored stam, not, you didn't say dafka for mashkim or dafka for achila, you just stam stored it. In both those cases, hayetz b'maser div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees in those cases that it's aser, because since these things are sometimes used for this liquid, therefore we have to be worried about the juices that was out when it's being dafka used for liquid, or even by stam, it's going to be aser. Say no, they're even more machmir. By these berries and by these pomegranates, even if you stored it la'echel, we treat it like zeisim anavim, and we say that which uses out is automatically going to be aser. It's aser. By the way, this is rabbanon, but it's going to be aser. So again, just to be clear, we're saying according to Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, everyone agrees, rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that by zeisim anavim, any juice that oozes out is going to be aser, regardless of why he stored it. Well, even if he stored it for achila, it's going to be aser, because since when a person sees the juice comes out, he appreciates the potential olive oil for the olives or the grape juice from the wine, he's going to come to squeeze. Therefore, any juice that oozes out, even if it was stored for achila, is going to be aser on Shabbos. When it comes to shar peiros, which are normally not stored, which are normally used for achila purposes, not drinking, so juice that comes out, that oozes out, is for sure going to be mutter, no gzer d'abanan. By two similar minors, we have machlekes that the abundant say that any juice that was out from them also we treat it like zeis of him, and we say we machmir midar abundant also because you may come to squeeze. And Rebbe says no, only if you stored it for liquid purposes or even stam. That's going to be the focus next summer. Even stam, if you stored it stam, then we talk a word. But if you stored it for achila purposes, then we're not going to be worried by tusim and remind him. Okay, so just a quick point in this. We're saying that the Rebbe is meida to chachamim by zeisim and anavim. Rebbe is meida to chachamim by zeisim and anavim, that these are considered the over there were for sure makmer to make a gzeira. The shaila is what's unique about zeisim and anavim. So it's just an interesting machlekes. Shaila is actually machlekes even Rashi and the Ran. Rashi on the bottom of kuf bim heyam and aleph. Rashi the Ram says that zeisim and anavim are mechuyev midaraisa. Why? Because it's urchei. It's the derech, like we've been saying, the common usage of that they actually get warrant a special bracha, right? Well, not by a zeisim, but by anavim, by grapes, wine, grape juice gets a special bracha. It's unique, and even by olives, it's the olive oil is considered more prestigious than the olive itself, and therefore over there it makes sense. It's urchei, it's normal, and therefore there's a chiv deraisa for those. We'll see in a moment, and that's what Rebbe's meida that midrabanan when it oozes out by itself. Was still going to be makbed, whether or not it was set aside for Eichlin or for Mashkin. Even if it's for Eichlin, it was still going to be makbed on Shabbos, and that which uses out. The Ran says a little bit different. The Ran says, we know we have seven mashkins. Mamash next Gemara is going to discuss this. We know there's seven mashkin that make something roy lekabatum. Then it's machshir of the kabatumah. What are they? Of course, yad shachadam. Right, yad shachadam is going to remember the seven mashkin. Those are the different types of liquids. The only two from that come from fruits on that list. Right, the only two that come from list from fruits on the list are from of grape juice and from olives. Those are the only two that come from fruits. And therefore, since those two are machshir, the liquids, legabi being machshir kabatuma, therefore those are considered schita deraisa. But otherwise, Igdat HaMon say in Achami, that could be why it's orche, or let me say opposite. The reason the Rashi says that it's orche, those are normal, that's why those are mashkim, that are machshir kabatuma, when Rashi's pshat is really the prelude to the Ran's idea, that they're machshir. Okay, but they give different reasons why Zisab and Avim are special. But again, Igdat HaMon say, there's no machlaikis, the two reasons that Talis Abizab. But either way, we're saying that Zisab and Avim are unique, that they're considered for sure. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's Issa Drabbanan and Takan Shulchan Aruch and Sim Shechaval. If it brings the Maisa, before we're going to go through a whole Gemara about this, but just to bring out the ideas, the Maisa Zeisim Anavim, squeezing out is Asam Midaraisa. Squeezing out on purpose, Zeisim Anavim Shabbos is Asam Midaraisa. If it comes by itself, Zeisim Anavim, everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. If it comes by itself, no matter whether it's designated for food or for drinking, it's going to be Asam Midarabbanan, even if it oozes out by itself. That is the first Madrega. Madrega number two brought in Sim Shechaval. Tusim Uramainim, the case of the berries and the pomegranates. Squeezing out is Asr Midrabanan. To go squeeze out is Asr Midrabanan. If it oozes out by itself, we say that it's, we say Lakula, that's going to be Mutter. Again, we're talking specifically about Tusim Uramainim that were designated for Achila purposes. If it was designated, we're saying in Agamar, Stam even, or certainly for Mashka, even if Rida agrees, that's problematic, that's going to be a problem. But we're talking about Tusim Uramainim that were designated for Achila purposes, then squeezing out is already downgraded. It's not a Daraisa, it's only Drabanan. Squeezing it directly is considered Drabanan. If it was designated for achila, it's an eichel. Squeezing out, it's only going to be drabanan. If it comes by itself, then it's even mutter mamish because we pass the kula like a Yehuda. And then you have the last case, a shar peiros. Not only is a mutter, that's which comes out of it. Again, this is this is Shulchan Aruch. Not only is the mut that which comes out of it, even lechatchila to squeeze out sharp pears on Shabbos would be permissible because it's not considered tzchita. It's not a min. It's not a normally species that you squeeze out for the juice, and therefore squeezing out is mutter 100% lechatchila on Shabbos. Avada, we know it's not the case. We don't do that today. Why? Mishabur explains because the mitzias has changed. The nature has changed. It's really telling what people do today. We have stands. We have stores. More common even those living in Israel. See, it's even more popular. But we have stores that are completely based on squeezing fruits, squeezing all different types of fruits and vegetables and these types of fresh drinks, considered very popular, very healthy, and therefore, says Mishnah Berurah, and this is really going back 100 years ago, Mishnah Berurah says, halacha has changed, the halacha has changed, not really, the halacha hasn't changed, the metzias has changed. The halacha always was that squeezing something which is normal to be squeezed is asur on Shabbos, that's schita, that's going to be asur b'deraisa. Now, all pears are at the very least in the category of tusim remainim, at the very least in the category of tusim remainim, and therefore, at least on a rabbinic level, it would be usher to squeeze them on Shabbos, and maybe even deraisa, if it's designated for mashke, if it's these are set aside for mashke, it could be a problem. For example, orange juice. We know oranges, there's many, many orange orchards, farm trees, loads and loads of farms of trees of oranges that are there just grown for these big oranges companies to meant to squeeze oranges. Over there, I can't imagine any tzad not that those oranges wouldn't be a chiyav deraisa of squeezing on Shabbos because that's no different than zaysim and anavim. Okay, fine. So the Gemara had left off that according to Behuda, stam, by two separate mind, stam is like you had a mind for mashka. If you just set it aside, if you store it at stam, and stam is also going to be a problem, at least rabbinic, if the juice oozes out, stam is going to be a problem. The Mar is going to be bothered now that does Rebuda really hold, the sub Rebuda stam usher, does Rebuda really hold that stam by liquids is usher? We seem to have a memra, a Mishnah, not like that. Let's see. Stam. Now, again, the Akdama to this Mishnah is, as I referenced before, that we have a concept that in order for somebody to be susceptible to Tumah, it needs to come in contact with one of these seven liquids. In order for a fruit to be susceptible to Tumah, it needs to come in contact with seven liquids. Yad Shechadam, again, Yad Shechadam is Yayin. Yud is Yayin, Dalad is, could be either Dam or Dvash, which is two Dalads. Dalad is Dam, Shin, what's Shin again? Shin is Shemen, Shin is Shemen, Ches is Chalav, is milk. We're going to focus a bunch on milk. Tes is Tal is dew. Again, the second Dalad is the second dew for the Dam and the Dvash. And the last one, Mem, of course, is Mayim. Those are the seven liquids, so we're going to be focused here on a little bit on Chalav and a little bit on Dam. Let's see. Vatram, we learned in the Mishnah, by the Gabi Machshirin, Chalav Isha, Metame L'Ratzain, Shalav Ratzain. The milk of a woman is Metame. Rashi explains, of course, Metame in this context doesn't mean Tumma, it means Machshir, right? We're talking about being Machshir, preparing something, making really a cup of Tumma. So Chalav Isha, Metame L'Ratzain, Shalav Ratzain. Milk of an Isha causes something to become Metame, whether she wanted the milk or not, whether it was L'Ratzain or not, it causes Tumma. It makes really a cup of Tumma. Whereas Chalav Behema, the milk of Behema, ain't Metame L'Ratzain, it's only causes Tumma if it came out L'Ratzain. If it didn't come out L'Ratzain, it doesn't make really a cup of Tumma. That is the Tanakam, the Rabbanu Shita. Amar Bakiva Kiva says it should be opposite. What is the more popular drink? Which milk? Milk of an Isha, right? Woman's milk, mother's milk is used for little babies. Whereas milk of a cow, milk of an animal, is used for all for adults and for babies. Amar Bakiva Kav Chaymer. Umachal of Isha, Shenim Yechen Elik Tanim, Metal the Ratzan, Shalay Ratzan. You tell me milk of an Isha, which is used only for Tanim, is Metal both the Ratzan and Shalay the Ratzan. Chal of Behemah, Shem Yechid, Bein Ketanim, Bein Gedailim. Chal of a Behemah, which is Yechid, both for Ketanim and Gedailim. And then Shetam, Bein the Ratzan, Bein Shalay the Ratzan. It should have more susceptibility for Tumah. It should create where the Kabbatim should be considered more of a Mashkin because it's fit for both Ketanim and Gedailim. So why are you saying, tell me that we're more generous, so to speak, in the susceptibility of the Tumah by the Chalav Isha, the Mechalav Behema? Amr led, they're running us back to Rabbi Kiva? No. Don't bring me a riot from Chalav Behema to Chalav Isha, because Chalav Isha has other chumras. Why? Because Isha itself has other mashkas from the seven mashkas that come out of her body that are tummy. There's not really restricted to Isha, there's even men as well. What is that? Shadam agafasa tummy. Dam of a wound. Gemara does not go to Dam Nida. Dam of a wound. Is tame. So yitma chalav behema should chalav behema be tame tap of kuf bem dalam aleph should leila ratzain should dama gavas etar. I'll tell you by an isha the reason why milk that comes out should leila ratzain is tame, like milk that comes out of the ratzain, is because we find that the dama gavas, the dama of a wound, is also tame by an isha. Whereas by behema, where dama of a wound does not give off tuma, then therefore maybe milk shleila ratzain will not give off tuma. Says Rashi, look at the top Rashi, should dama gavasay shall isha im naga fragla yadav. She gets a cut, any type of cut. Chochabura. Shetzem and dam kizam perik dam enida. Rashi says dam chalalim. So we know there's a concept of dam chalalim. That's dam of a person that's killed. We know dam harug karimash. Because that's clear that the pasuk says dam chalalim yishta. It used halacha of drinking with dam chalalim, dam of a dead people has the din of mashka. That's clear for the pasuk. And we treat dam of a wound like dam chalalim. Next line of Rashi, demali kalikula, mali kalapaga. We don't make a distinction between a full death and a partial death. Once a person's cut, it's the same blood that leads to a person dying is the blood that comes out when one's cut. So it's step by step. Step number one is dam of a chalalim of a person that's killed. That dam is called a mashka, and therefore makes relic of a tumma. Therefore, dam of a cut, which is a partial killing, so to speak, it's malika lukula, malika palga, that makes tumma as well, makes makshakabatum as well. So now we still have to make a stretch. So how do we get to the milk? What's the connection? Fine. So just because the dam of a wound makes tumma, why does that make the milk of the isha relikabal tumma? Says Rashi, Vaiter, explains, take the circles back to get back to milk. V'chalav kedam agafasai. Why? Big yisayin anida, the dam necher v'nasa chalav. Because the dam is necher and it becomes chalav. The dam is necher and becomes chalav. We know there's a sugya in Nida where it discusses an isha who's nursing does not become pregnant. So that's the general klal. A woman is nursing, it's the same way till today. As a general rule, a woman is nursing will not become pregnant. What's the idea? So one idea is that the dam that normally is dam the little touch is the dam converts and becomes milk. The milk is created from converted dam. The first explanation doesn't mean that scientifically that the dam actually converts to become milk. It just means that that which her system, which normally causes her to have a regular cycle, which leads to damnida, it converts, and now the system is busy producing milk and no longer has damnida. Not that the actual dam itself becomes milk, but the system converts from producing damnida to producing milk. So therefore, says Rashi, that since we're saying that dam by an isha, dam of a wound is metame, says the name of mashka, it makes rather kabotuma. And Rashi points out the last words of Rashi, typically most people don't want wounds are shleil ratzon, wounds are against their will, and still makes rather kabotuma. And the milk is kind of replacing that dam, so therefore by an isha we're saying dam le ratzon, and even shleil ratzon makes rather kabotuma. Whereas by behema we don't have all this. By behema we don't have this idea of dam agefa being tame, the dam of a wound, dam agafasai, does not make rather. Therefore, the milk shleiratz will not make rather kapatama. Therefore, the rabbanon are responding to Rabbi Kiva and saying, "Don't tell me the milk of an animal which is more universal, is drunk by more people. Therefore, shleiratz should certainly be rather kapatama. No, because isha has a chumra that we see that the blood of an isha makes rather kapatama, and therefore the damage emanates from the blood. It's kind of a replacement of the blood will also make rather kapatama. Okay, that's what Rashi explains. Shaka Tak Gemara Taisus just does make an address. We're not going to focus too much on this, but at the bottom of the Amud, Rashi says, "How do you know milk is considered?" Here Rashi is comparing the milk because dam necher v'nasa chalav. Dam kind of the milk is replacing the blood, and we know the blood itself is a mashka. That's what Rashi explains over there by the milk of an isha being considered a mashka. Rashi in the bottom of Amud Beis, Kupman Gil Beis, actually says a different source that the chalav is considered. Is considered a mashka. Rashi brings third line for the bottom of Kupim Gim Beis. Shnemer vatvatach as anad chalav vatashkeo. That she milked when she gave to drink to the child. It says vatashkeo from her milk. So Tosfos actually bothered why Rashi needs this pasuk earlier. Then the chayav the cancer of dam necher v'nasa chalav. Tosfos says there is actually machlokes in Nida. If we say this, there's nothing pshat Nida. The reason why a woman doesn't get pregnant for the first while she's nursing is nothing to do with dam necher v'nasa chalav. It's the body has to recuperate yet. The body has to recuperate back to itself to be able to give birth, and therefore it's not dam necher v'nasa chalav, and therefore according to that Rashi's pasuk on Beis would be applicable. You have to know exactly how to touch the shakar tayv agamar. Let's leave that for now, but okay, fine. So we have Rabbi Kiva was the rabbanan defender of Akiva's taina that milk of the animal is more universal by saying that no, the isha is considered more fit to make mashkas than rather kapatama, like we see by dam. I'm gonna so give this back. Machmer ni b'chalav mevedam. I'm more machmer again. All this conversation, by the way, just keep track, is coming to bring some sort of proof of what Rabbi Yehuda is going to say by stam. We had said Rabbi Yehuda says by stam tusa remainim. We treated the berries and the pomegranates stam as if you had it in mind lamashka, and therefore what oozes out is going to be us, or at least with your rabbanan, and we treat stam like as if it was you didn't store it for food, you didn't store it for mashka. We treat it as if it was for mashka. We're machmer by stam. Which all this conversation. This whole Mishnah Machshirim is coming to be a proof to the idea of stam. We'll see in a moment. The Mar circles back. Amar Lemser, Bekiva says back. Machmer ni b'chol medam. Bekiva says back. The Rana, no. Amor machmer b'chol medam. Shachaylev lirefuah tamei. One who milks for refuah purposes. This is going back to an animal. By an animal, one who milks an animal for refuah purposes is taket's considered mashka, which is right lekapal tuma, which is right to be machshir lekapal tuma. V'amak is refuah tar. Whereas if one lets blood. lirfua. That's tar. That's not called the mashka. Being letting blood. Even though it's interesting, letting blood. One would think letting blood is exactly like a makkah. It's a magefa. It's a regular makkah. Hamakkah is lirfua tar. One who lets blood, that is going to be tar from making world the kabbatuma. So therefore, we see a viter that milk is more stringent than blood, and therefore he says, since the milk is more stringent than blood, I'm going to go back and say that by the milk of an animal, which is more universal, it's going to have a din of bein l'ratz and bein shlein l'ratz and make rela kapal tumah. Amar le ba'agav, totally side halacha, Ramesha, this discussion about letting blood, giving blood, donating blood. There is an issur for one to go and wound himself. Is this one to go and wound himself? Is the Ramesh was asked for one to go donate blood? Obviously, he can help for Kof Nefesh. There's other reasons why I can mutter, but is one being over the issur of chavala in order to help others? And you have to come on to some sort of hat or why it's mutter because of Kof Nefesh, why not? Or it's not, or it was not an issur. Ramesh held it wasn't even an issur to begin with. It's not called the chavala. The Gemara here calls it hamak is the refua. Mak is the refua. I mean, obviously, back in the day, they used to believe that bloodletting was healthy on occasion, regardless. Letting blood was healthy anyway. And even today, maybe we don't believe that it's as necessary as often. I think they still say there are some medical benefits, but certainly Agamor is making a clear chilik between makiz the refua and dama gifasai. One's being called the mashka and one's not. Okay, and therefore Meshach says you have to come out to any kulas. Letting blood stam is mutter, regardless. Certainly, if it's helping someone, it's going to be mutter. It wouldn't be considered an issue of being chayvul batzmai, wounding oneself. Amr leis. So I want to say back to Bekiva. Sali zeis v'nav yechichu. I'll bring you a proof. And here we circle back to our sugya. Sali zeis v'nav yechichu. I'll bring you a proof of the baskets of olives and grapes. Shamash k'mayetz mehem l'ratza t'mehem. I'll bring you a proof in the baskets of olives and grapes that mashkin that come out l'ratzain. Those are tamei. They're considered like liquids. Where it comes to shleil l'ratzain, they're considered tar. So we see that we do make a chilik whether or not it's considered l'ratzin. So by the animal milk, say the same thing. You want to say the animal milk, because it's such a clear, it's such an important mashka, automatically, whether it's l'ratzin or not, is going to be tamei. We'll bring you a proof that we see that by zeisim anavim, when it's desired, it's mitame, it makes rela kapatama. When it's not desired, shleil l'ratzin, then it's tar. It does not make, it's not considered mashka to make rela kapatama when it's not desired. Now there are circles back to the Terbuda. My lav, l'ratzin denichle. L'ratzin means he wants it. He wants it for the juices. Shleil l'ratzin bestam. Shleil l'ratzin means stam. Shleil l'ratzin doesn't mean didn't want it. It means stam. And we see that stam, by zeisim anavim, does not make a rela kapatama. It's not considered machshir. It's not considered machshir. And who adin l'chayr stam for the gabar sugya, stam should be considered as if it's not destined for juices. And therefore, if it oozes out, it should be mutter on Shabbos according to Behuda. The Mar's his father. I mean, the answer is going to be fairly obvious. We assume we made an assumption what stam means, and therefore we have a kasha. We're assuming stam means. We're assuming that Leila Rutzen is equivalent to Stam, and we're bothered over here, Leila Rutzen is equivalent to Stam, and we Taishir Behuda, that Stam is equivalent to wanting it Lamashka. Says the Gemara, Umaze Svanavim, Dimne Schitininu, Shle Rutzen, Leiklum. So now the Mara says, the Mara finishes up the Raya. In this Braisa, in this Mishnah, we're discussing Zaysev Anavim, and we're saying, even over there, Stam is considered Leila Ratzain. So Tusim Remainu, we have the Machlaikis. Tusim Remainu, which is Madrega Lo, Tlabne Schitinu. It's not automatically designated for squeezing. Le Koshkin, certainly over there, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that something which is Stam is not considered Lamashka. And why by us do we assume Stam, Rabbi Yehuda holds, by Tusim and Anovim, is considered Lamashka? Answers the Gemara. Again, the whole thing is based on assumption. We assume that when it said Le Ratzain, it meant you want it for Mashka, but the Tusim and Anovim, and when it said in the bright, when it's, again, talking about by making Zion, the seven liquids, making Rela Kabbalah, so we assume that when it said Lay Leratzin immense stam, that was all an assumption. Lay Leratzin Bestama, Shlay Leratzin Begaladaite. The Mara says say it opposite. When it said Beratzin, that was stama. Beratzin meant stama, and Lay Leratzin was Megaladas, that he didn't want it. Damale Nichli, because he said explicitly, I don't want it. So therefore, your whole assumption, the question was based on assumption that Lay Leratzin means stama. No, Lay Leratzin means Lay Leratzin. He said it very clearly. I don't want juices to be oozing out of my olive and grapes. That's Lay Leratzin, and that therefore those juices will not be Machshel Kabbalah. And when it said that Beratzin makes a mukshir, it's talking about stam, and stam is considered like Beratzin by the case of olives and grapes. And further, we could say by two sermonim also, according to Behuda, stam would be a problem on Shabbos. Answer number one. Answer number two is even more stark. The case of Zeis Anovim is where it was in a basket. If it's in a basket, whatever was out, is lost. It's not even saved. And therefore, for sure, over there, stam is going to be considered leil ratzon. Even leibud kaim over there, since it's leibud meikar afkir mafkir, he's mafkir right away, since it's leibud. But in general, in a case where it's not going to be lost, then the juices by zeis anavim stam would be considered mashka, and even tusa remainim stam could also be considered mashka, at least to the extent that the gezerah d'rabbanan would apply. So let's just quickly go over outside what we have. Again, we have three categories. We have the category of Zesim and Anavim. That's the category is the most stark, considered something which is destined to be squeezed. It's most likely that the person wants the liquids. He wants it specifically for the liquids, and therefore halacha is as follows. If one squeezes it on Shabbos, we're saying he's mamish over midderaisa. That's a realistic derisa of shechita. If it oozes out by itself, both the Rabbanan and even Behuda agrees that whether or not he was planning to eat the grapes as food, or even, and certainly if he's planning to drink it as liquids, but even if he's planning to eat as food, that which uses out is asa midrabanan, gezeru you may come to squeeze. That's by zeisim vanovim, by olives and grapes. That's clear. By shar peiris, again, Bismarck says different. We're not getting into the Shulchan Aruch, but by shar peiris in the Gemara at least, shar peiris which are not meant to be squeezed, they're not typically being squeezed, and they're designated normally for eating purposes. So if anything oozes out, everyone's going to agree that which oozes out is going to be mutter on Shabbos. There's no Ister Abanon there at all, even according to the Chamim, no Ister Abanon. Where's the Machlekes? Two Simmer Minor, which are kind of in between. They're often used, squeezed for juices, but not always. That's the berries and the pomegranates. They're squeezed often, but not always. Sometimes eaten as food, sometimes eaten as juices. And therefore, the Rabbanon say in that case, we treat the juices that ooze out, we treat them as if we're concerned that's going to lead someone to squeeze. And therefore, it's Asimir Darbanon on Shabbos. And Abiyu does Makel over there and said it's Mutter, unless it's specifically designated for drinking. Once you've already designated these pomegranates and tusim for drinking, then even Huda would agree juices that ooze out are going to be asim and dvaran Shabbos. And we've elaborated that even in Huda, we said if it's designated for drinking, it doesn't mean dafka designated. If it's stam, if you didn't say I want it for food, if it was stam, also specifically designated, as I should say, as lav dafka, as long as you put it away stam and didn't specifically designate it for food, we're also going to be concerned, even going to Huda, that which leaks out is going to have a din of Isser on Shabbos, Gezerah, you make up the squeeze. So before we go further, we're going to elaborate more on this topic, on our topic of Shabbos. Just one quick explanation that we didn't discuss earlier by Machsher. What is the idea that seven liquids are Machsher Zomig HaBetumma? We did discuss this earlier in Masechta, quickly Chazover. We had Machlekes Ramban and the Sefer Chinuch, what the concept is. Is the concept that in order for it to, once one concept is almost like a Matzias, a physical Matzias type of thing. Obviously it's spiritual, it's Tumma, but like a physical Matzias, in order, let's say, if you get dirt on a fruit, the dirt can just fall right off. However, if the fruit's wet, the dirt typically sticks. So the wetness is the mashka make more kabbal tumma, that the tumma somehow needs like some sort of aid to stick to it, some sort of a way that it's obviously a spiritual thing, but we're making it like a metzias, that the step one is, it's really the beginning of tumma. Water is the beginning of the tumma process, and it enables the tumma to stick to the fruit. Is that the idea? Or the way the other Rishonim explained it is that no, it's opposite really. It's not called a pri until you wash it. Since most parents, a person washes before he eats it, it's not called a pri. It's not nigmar malachtan. We know things are not merely the kabbal tumma until they're finished product. We know even my kalim, until you finish making the kli, it's not merely the kabbal tumma. The fruit is not considered finished until it's washed, because people typically wash fruits before they eat them, and therefore until it comes in contact with water, it's not considered nigmar pri, and therefore it's not merely the kabbal tumma. Those are the two malachim brought in the Rishonim. Why mashka, the way it works, that mashka makes really kabbal tumma. The obvious question of the second malach is, so it's very nice if liquid is needed, because normally you wash something before you eat it. Why would dam help? You don't typically steep your fruits in blood before you eat it. It'll make it disgusting. You'd actually wash it to wash the blood off of the fruit. You have to, l'chaira. You certainly don't want to eat the fruit that is dominant. So now they say it's like a light plug. Once we're saying that a fruit's not considered ripe, it's not considered finished till it comes in contact with mashka, because it's normal to wash it, then anything which has the status of mashka will have that power. I mean, again, we're talking about the rice, we're not talking about the rabbanas. It's the rices, but it's like a late plug type of concept that mashkas work to make it royal kabbal tumma. It's different afkaminas, we're not going to get too sidetracked on this, but it's different afkaminas on this, in these reasons, whether it's a vert that it's finishing the pre, making the pre nigmar, or whether it's the beginning of the tumma process, the actual coming contact with liquid is the beginning of the tumma process. It can make a plain afkamina in the big machlekes we've spoken to in the past, Rambam, Ravid, whether or not, when we talk about kiyutan, we said the mashka has to be mashka that you desire. Mashka you don't desire, right? Be the pasuk, kiyutan, dumit the kiyutan. If water comes in, it has to be similar to you putting water on it, just like when you put water on it, it's the ratzin, so to water that comes. Let's say rain has to come in at Leratzen. The question is, does that mean the water in general was Leratzen? Or does that mean the water went on the pre Leratzen? Machlekes is Ramam and Ravid. Do I have to have the Mashka came in contact with the pre? I'm happy about the Mashka came in contact with the pre itself? Or I'm happy about the Mashka in general? If I'm happy about Mashka in general and that touches the pre, that's enough to make it roll a couple of times. That could be told as Machlekes as well, whether it has to be the Bailim that has the happiness, or that puts it in contact with the mashka, or it could be anyone. As long as it's come in contact with mashka, it could be anyone. Just to go explain that last one. If it's a vert that the mashka is the beginning of making a tamei, so then we say that no matter who does it, l'charem, it's the beginning of the process of tamei. Anyone could make something tamei, right? Anyone could touch, put something in contact with tamei and make a tamei. If we say that it's the nigmar pri, maybe only the bialim have the power to make nigmar pri. Someone else can't go and make nigmar pri on my parents. Okay, different discussions. Legabe the dinim of Roy Lekapotam of being machshir. Agav, we spoke out this idea that Aisha, the milk, is whether it's rutzen or not, makes Roy Lekapotam. So the Mug of Ram actually brings that the whole halach of eating milk on Shavuos is based on this topic. We said, Dam Nechav and Asachalav, we said that the blood becomes. It converts, so to speak, into milk when Aisha is nursing. So the Magen Avraham explains that the 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos are like Zayin Nikiyim, are like 7 days of Nikiyim when we're getting rid of the Kabbalah Torah. It's like 7 weeks of Nikiyim of going through a purification process. And then after 7 weeks, we're totally tar to the extent that just like by Aisha, Tam Nechav and Asachalav, she becomes, now that she has milk, and she no longer can become Tami. She does not have Dam Nida for the next little while. Kozma, she's nursing. She won't become a Nida, so to Klaistrol, Paman Torah are so reaching Madrega of such purity that they're so pure that they can, so to speak, cannot become tummy. Hence the idea, the remiss that is eating milchiks on Shavuos. Of course, we know the basic reasons are Shtei Lechem and other reasons that are given, but Magen Avraham uses this concept in the Gemara Nida to say why we eat milchiks on Shavuos. Okay. Says Gemara Vayta, Eshkan Rabida, the Maida Rabbanan by Zeisav Anavim. We find that Rabida's Maida Rabbanan by Zeisav Anavim by grapes and olives. He's Maida that what? That the liquid that oozes out is always going to be asur on Shabbos. Rabbanan the Maida Rabida B'Shar Peres Menalim. When we find that the Rabbanan Maida Rabida was saying, we take him for granted, we keep referencing the Rabbanan agree B'Shar Peres Rabida. Where do we see that that's the case? The Tanya B'Linter Rabbisa Seichdin, you are allowed to squeeze out top of a base, Pepegoyim Uvefrishim Uveizrin. You're allowed to squeeze out these different types of fruits, plums, different types of apples, on quinces, they touch it, avalei remainim, but you can't squeeze out remainim. So you see very clearly here, we're allowed to squeeze out other pears. We'll have to get other pears, except for pomegranates, which are sometimes used for squeezing for juice. And the house of Beis Menachem, even over there, they would squeeze out pomegranates. They're actually talking about during the week. During the week, they used to squeeze out, not even, sorry. The house of Menashe Rav Nachum would squeeze out Ramayim during the week, and hence the reason why in Shabbos, pomegranates were more concerned. The Mara is really giving an explanation. That's why we're concerned in the Shabbos with Ramayim. What do we see? We see that by other fruit, we're allowing to even squeeze them out directly on Shabbos, and Kavachemer, certainly the juice that oozes out by itself is going to be mutter on Shabbos. So we see the Rabbanan Maida to Rabbi Yehuda B'Shar Peiris. And again, like we point out, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass this way in Lamaisa, even though Shulchan Aruch brings it, is that Shulchan Aruch brings that B'Shar Peiris, it's mutter to squeeze out Lechatchila, mamish based on this idea over here, because it's not considered a normal derech squeezing, it's not considered something that's normally used for the juice, and therefore squeezing on Shabbos, we're not being an issue. Again, we don't pass this way because our actual reality today is that we do squeeze out other fruits and vegetables during the week, and therefore we're makbid across the board. Umamai Drabbanan, he asked him 1 second. Who said that memory you just quoted is Drabbanan? To Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe that memory you just quoted is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we know allows a Shar Peiris. How do we know that Drabbanan agreed with Shar Peiris? That was the whole question. So you brought a memory. Maybe that memory goes according to Yehuda. Says Marv TV, but I'm a Kehuda. Marv says, still, let it be Yehuda. Ima the Shamalei Yehuda, Yatsuma Atzman. Sech Nechilim Mishamalei, asked the Gemara. 1 second. Even according to Yehuda, when do we say according to Yehuda that these liquids are all mutter? Is that going to ooze out by itself? Did he allow even to squeeze the chatchila? Rather, what are you going to say? Well, we just really got ahead of ourselves and elaborated that since these fruits are not considered fruits that are destined for squeezing at all, even the chatchila is mutter to squeeze. If that's the case, since we're saying that shar peiris are not, and again, we have to keep stressing, times have changed, but back in the day, shar peiris were not considered peiris that are used to squeeze at all. They're not there to be squeezed at all. Therefore, it's not going to be an issue. You're allowed to squeeze the chatchila, feel the chatchila, and if obviously if you do the chatchila, certainly that which oozes out is going to be permissible. And afilu shemamina, even the rabbanon agree. Shemamina, even the rabbanon agree to viuda. Shemamina is a good raya. So it's saying everyone agrees. Yes.
Sorry, it's a steer to the Mishnah.
But definitely not the mashmais of the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Gemara has essentially qualified the Mishnah to say that the peiris that we're talking about in the Mishnah is tusim v'remainim, is pomegranates and berries. That's when we say ain seichtin, but as zeisav anavim for sure, everyone agrees to that, and shar peiris everyone's going to agree, again, the time is the Gemara, time is the Mishnah, everyone's going to agree, those attack a mutter, and that's not part of the payers of the Mishnah. So essentially, we qualified the Mishnah. That's correct. Says the Gemara, in the Bryce, we quoted that in the house of Masha Ram Nachem, he has to squeeze a minum. The halacha is, like those members of the household of Menashe ben Menachem, that meaning that it's normal to squeeze out pomegranates, it's funny, halacha, and therefore it's usher on Shabbos. It makes an issue, an isser on Shabbos. Amar Rav Nachman, Menashe ben Menachem, Tanu, is he a Tana? Meaning, they were just really saying what the anhaga was in his house. He's saying halacha is like him, as if he was giving an opinion in this discussion. Says, Amar V'chitem halacha, rather, what are you going to say? What it means? It means in the Brice, when it quotes on Haggah, the Tana, the Brice was quoting his on Haggah to say that it's Usr. By reminding him, that's what we mean to say. We mean to say that we're coming to say that because in Mashiach's house, that's what they did. Therefore, we see that's the norm. And therefore, Halacha is like that Madam. It says Usr. Because this Tana holds like Menashe Menachem, that was the norm. That becomes the Halacha. Meaning, is that the really spells out the question? Menashe Menachem Havarud Alma is the actions of the house of Menashe Menachem enough to determine what the norm and the velt is? How is that enough to establish halacha? Versus in it is that's not it is. Meaning when you see that this is what a person does, this is the norm of what people of a person or people are doing, that's enough to establish halacha. Like we find elsewhere, the time we find in a mishnah, again this mishnah is a mishnah in Klayim, Hamakayim Kaitzim Bekarim, one who keeps the kaitzim like thorns in the vineyard. Now the thorns we spoke earlier in the Masechta, remember we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, so in the past 5-6 blot, the thorns can be eaten by certain animals, not discriminatory, and they eat even thorns. We spoke about the difference between the donkeys and the cows. We spoke about the mouth of the donkey being cleaner because it doesn't drool, as opposed the cow with jewels, but we spoke about the cow being more particular food he eats, as opposed to the donkey that eats even thorns. So thorns could be considered a food. So Mekayim, that's relevant for this conversation. Mekayim, Kaisim, Mekarim. Reb Lezer, Eimer Kiddush, that's Klayim. If you keep the thorns purposely in the vineyard, that's Klayim. V'chamim, no, Eimer Kiddush, Aldav, Shekomim, Mekayim. No, only something which is usually kept by people in their fields. Most people don't grow thorns. They don't grow thorns as a growth in and of itself. It just happens to come, but people don't want that. Therefore, it won't make Klayim. Achleikus Rabbanon and Reb Lezer, whether the thorns make Klayim. Remember Chanina, my time of the buzz, what's Panavala says the thorns do make lime. Shekem by Ravya, Mekayim, and Kaitsay, so this, look, Malayim. So I brought up that we just had a couple of back for the donkeys. Here we have it for Gamal and for the camels. But the point is, people keep the thorns for the camels, and therefore we're by Ravya. In Ravya, the people keep it for the camels. We're seeing that the fact that the people in Arabia were naive to keep it for the camels, that's enough, according to Blaz, to give a status of like a status of a food to make it an issue of Klayim. So we see that Hugga of some people can make an issue of Klayim. What's the obvious question? Everyone's bothered. Meet the area, the Arabia Asra. Arabia is a place. You're not talking about one person. You're talking about a place. You're being a proof in the actions of a place. So over there, fine. You say that gives a status. Over here, the one person, from Rashi Ben Menachem, his household did it. That may be Baladaita. Who says what his action is enough to establish a general ruling? So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Haina Taima, Derev Chizda. Gemara says, this is Pshat. The reason for Rav Nachman's psak is talking not just that we're going like Rav Nachman willy nilly. It's like Rav Chizda tardin shesachtem nasa mikvah beats that was squeezed and one place in the mikvah. This is, we're moving from our topic of mashkim and tuma and mashkim and tzchit on Shabbos to now mashkim in the mikvah, beats that were squeezed and they were placed into the mikvah. Placeless mikvah shinamara. They pass the mikvah b'shinamara by changing the appearance of the color. You know, beets are red. If it changes the appearance of the water, it passes the mikvah. But since beets are not meant for squeezing, that we're bothered that l'chari, the mashka, in order to pass the mikvah, first and foremost, has to have a status of mashka. If it has a mashka, and it's noticeable in the mikvah, it becomes now puzzle. But if it doesn't have a status of mashka, even if it colored the mikvah, but has no status of mashka, it shouldn't pass the mikvah. Says the Gemara, beets are not considered something which is normal for squeezing. So why is there juice enough to pass the mikvah? Since he's squeezing itself, by squeezing it, he's showing I am achshiv this liquid of the beets. So that's going to be the new yisaid. Whenever someone squeezes something, he himself is machshiv it. If he squeezes it purposefully, that gives a status. So kivin achshivinu havelei mashka. So hachanami. So to be us, regard to the tusim and they remind him kivin achshivinu havelei mashka. If a person goes and squeezes it himself, that gives a status, and therefore it's going to be a mashka that gives a chashivas, and therefore it's going to make him chayiv on Shabbos. Rav Papa says, "Meshum Davi, Davi Shein Nice Menu Mikvah Lachila." Rav Papa says different reason. This is just going to explanation by the beets. Why the beets pass the mikvah? He says because something which you can't make a mikvah lachila, Chol Davi Shein Nice Menu Mikvah Lachila. Anything which is not used, is not kosher to use through a mikvah lachila, paisus mikvah shinamara. Anything which is not fit to be considered a roy to make a mikvah in the first place. If it gets mixed in the mikvah and it changes the color, that's enough to passel, even though it doesn't have a status of mashka. Rav Chisda wanted to give it a status of mashka, not to passel. Rav Papa saying even that status of mashka is still a passel. So that has to be learned over there in a mishnah. This is again a mishnah in mikvahs related to the mikvah. Nafal seicha yayin eichaimitz meichel vishin of mara passel. If wine or vinegar, or meichel is actually the liquid that comes out of olives, but not oil. It's like the more watery liquid that comes out of olives, that's meichel. All these things come into the mikvah. Ooh, Shina Marif, here's the key, and it changes the color, it passels the mikvah. Matan the meichel mashka, who's the time that says that even meichel is called the mashka? We know olive oil, of course, the yachach adam. Olive oil, shemen, is the shemen, is considered a mashka. Who says that meichel is a mashka, that in order that it's able to pass the mikvah, this watery substance that comes out of olive is a mashka to pass the mikvah? Meichel is really like a mashka, and therefore makes bukshel kabatuma. So why do they say that meichel comes out b'tchilas tar? Why is that when this liquid comes out of an olive initially is a tar, we should say it makes royal kabatuma if it's a mashka? Because this is not something he wants, right? We know we said before, we referenced the agav when we were getting to a little bit of the lumdus behind how mashkas make something royal kabatuma. We spoke out the idea of chiyuta, we spoke it has to be something you want. So, and if you're something you don't want, it doesn't have a status of mashka, to mashka kabatuma. Typically, this liquid that comes out, this meichel liquid that comes out of olive, is not something someone wants, and therefore it's not considered a mashka to make a royal kabatuma. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, meichel ain't a kamashka. He said, no, meichel's not yargis. Meichel is not a mashka. Umatam or meichel yetz meikel based about tummy. So that's the case. Why, when the olive water flows out of the olive press, is it meichel kapatum? It goes the other way. It's not really a mashka. So why does it work sometimes? Make meichel kapatum. Because it's not the mashka. It's not the meichel shabai. Within the meichel, which is olive water, always has a little olive oil, and olive oil itself makes royal kabatama. But if you have taka strictly water itself is not going to be mashka, which is royal kabatama. The bottom line is, they're both agreeing that ultimately this meichel makes royal kabatama. One is saying because it's olive oil mixed into the olive water. That's the second malach. Well, the first malach is because, it's considered a mashka. It really is considered a mashka. So what's the machlex between them? Ik benayo, to asi basra tzatzta. The nafkmina is, if it came after you put a lot of pressure on the olives, meaning when the water that comes out, when olives are piled up one on the other, so that pressure that causes some liquid to come out, that initial liquid can be dafka water, not oil. So according to Reb Shimon, that would not be not, that also where it was. There's always olive oil. There's always oil mixed in. Maybe they are not. According to the first number, according to I think it was Reb Yaakov, it will still be considered a mashka. Rav Amar, mikvah. Rav gives another explanation why olive water passes a mikvah. Stop at this. Mishum Davi Dover Shein Oisem and Mikvah, because it's something which you can't make for a mikvah. This is the same svara as we had before for Rav Papa. Rav is reiterating Papa svara. It's something which you can't use to make a mikvah in the first place. Who places the mikvah Shinimara and apostles the mikvah Bishinimara. We're going to speak more about this topic of Mitzvah tomorrow. We have to pause for davening. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.